Leviticus chapter 24, verses 1 and 2. The Lord said to Moses, "Command the Israelites to bring you clear oil of pressed olives for the lights, so that the lamps may be kept burning continually." May the Lord bless the reading of his word and those who obey it.
We are happy to have Brother Edmund preach to us, and he has entitled his message as "We Continually Serve Our Holy God." Brother Edmund.
Morning, brothers and sisters in Christ. Truly, it's a privilege to worship you today. We continue our study of Leviticus. And Leviticus was the first book which the Jewish children were taught. And in this book, that was the first book, it begins with a bang. It begins with the burnt offering. And this burnt offering is a very interesting offering. It's an offering which says, "I am a sinner. I cannot come before a holy God. I need a substitute to die for my sin." And the offerer will put his hand on the sacrifice and say, "I am a sinner. I cannot come to you, O God. Please accept this sacrifice in my place." And today we have this same message, that Jesus is our sacrifice. He has taken our burden from our sin so that we can come and worship a holy God. So that is Leviticus chapter 1. Leviticus chapter 24 builds on it. The last couple of sessions, we had studied Leviticus chapter 19. And we found that Leviticus chapter 19 had some moral applications. There were moral principles. There were moral laws for it in Leviticus 19. But today we encounter a very interesting passage of scripture. And if you look in Leviticus chapter 25, it talks about the Sabbath year or the Jubilee. This is something that the Jews celebrated. And before that, you will find in chapter 23, there are some feasts or some celebrations that are described, what their laws describing that. But out of nowhere, chapter 24 inserts itself. And it's strange because it inserts itself in verses 1 to 9. All right? Okay. In this chapter 24, verses 1 to 9, you will find that there's this ritual. There's this ritual that that God commands Moses to tell the Israelites. And this ritual is an interesting ritual because it is supposed to span for a long time. All right? So briefly, point C, I've written that in this chapter, it is not the act which is holy. Instead, it is our attitude and our faithful service before God that makes it holy. And as we go through this text, try and keep this idea in mind. Now, this text, this 9 verses, actually has 3 key points. Our first point is God always dwells in us. And because we are Christians, he dwells in us personally, individually, and in a congregational setting. We individually and congregationally must live holy lives. That's the first point we learn. Second point in this 9 verses is God is actually not our buddy lah. God is our king, and therefore we should serve him as our king. Number 3, although God is our king, he is pleased with faithful service. And we will find that he is pleased with faithful service even though the service is mundane. And we'll see that in verses 1 to 9. Another point of introduction in verses 1 to 9 is there are many symbolisms there. So as we go through it, I'll try and point it out. I'll try and explain the ritual. I'll try and explain its symbolism, its significance, And then towards the end, we'll try and make some practical applications. All right, let's move ahead. Okay, first of all, this chapter, verses chapter 24, emphasizes a regular, ongoing nature of this ritual. That means this ritual is not a one-off. It's something that is to be done continually, day in, day out, week in, week out, month in, month out, year in, year out. So as you look at these verses, verses 2, 3, 4, 8, you will find that these are clues to how often this ritual was supposed to be exercised. Secondly, this ritual is quite an interesting ritual, the location. And I explained this here. I hope this works. No, it doesn't work. Okay, I'm not good enough. Ah, yes. Now, this is the temple, of which this is the inner part of the tent. Now, this part is known as the Holy of Holies. This is symbolically where God lives. All right? This is symbolically where God lives. Nobody is allowed to enter this Holy of Holies except the high priest, and he can only do it once a year. This is the second most holy place. It is just outside the Holy of Holies. There is a curtain here that separates the Holy of Holies from the holy place. This is where the ritual takes place. Another point. Actually, it moves from right to left. Right to left. And the nearer you go towards the Holy of Holies, the more holy, the more ritually holy you must be. All right? So that was the symbolism of this. Okay? So with that, you will find point three here. You will find that in this ritual, you will find that only the finest ingredients are used. And we list them down, finest flour, pure olive oil, and I'll explain that later, and an incense or frankincense. These were the key ingredients that were to be offered at this place, the holy place. All right? Okay, so we move on. Now, everything in the Holy of Holies, everything here, pure gold. There is a candlestick here. This is the candlestick, or the Jewish term is the menorah, is the golden candlestick. That is made of pure gold, and I've given the references. And there is a table here. This table of showbread. This one is also made of pure gold. And then there is an altar of incense here. This is also made of pure gold. So everything down here, pure gold. And the reason why it's pure gold is to signify that, hey, when you come here, everything must be pure. Must be pure, number one. Number two, you are coming to a place where the person is important. It's just like a dignitary, when he comes to Singapore to visit, we don't use my car, the Korean Kia, to go and pick him up. We use a Mercedes carriage one, a long wheel one, to go and pick him up. It's just like when a dignitary comes in, when he flies in from on his Air Force One or his aircraft, we use a special ladder down there. We go red carpet one. We don't use the aerodrome and just park inside. So it is the same idea here. All right? Now, I mentioned that the furniture here is made of pure gold, and the garments of the priests are given there. They're all beautiful. And there is a qualification for people to serve here. Only priests are qualified to serve here. That means what, That means there is a privilege. People serving here have a privilege. That means those who serve before God, in this place, God is symbolically here, but those who serve here before God have a special privilege. All right, keep all this in mind as we go through the text. Okay, let's engage the text. Verse 1, the Lord said to Moses, now I want to command the Israelites to bring you clear oil of pressed olives. And this was the finest quality. Let me explain the process. What they used to do was they bring the olive and they crush the olive once only. They don't crush the olive and then crush again and crush again. It's like sugar cane, only one time. So you have the finest oil, all right? And this oil in number three here, number two here, you will find that this oil is so good that it is used to present it to a king of a foreign country. I give you an example. It is traditional, and I've read this, it is traditional. Sometimes when a foreign dignitary visits Indonesia, they're given very fine batik, you know. Sometimes they say, yeah, batik is just cloth only. Right? No. It is fine batik because it is handmade. It's hand-designed, handcrafted. So that kind of batik is not that you can buy on the market. Similarly here, the oil, fine oil. Number two, you need to use the oil so that the lamps may be burning continually. Now, let me explain this again. This is the lamp or the golden candlestick. And what would happen is this lamp stick had to be burned, and it would be lit up. It would be lit up. And if you look at it in verse 2, it is, I think it's in verse 2. Wait, let me just check. Okay, somewhere there it says it has to be burnt from the evening to the morning, so that it is never dark. That means this place is never dark. It's always lit. It's always bright. All right? Okay? So, you will find that there is a symbolism. In the ancient Near Eastern culture, whenever you saw a burning lamp at night, you knew that somebody was home. We also do this trick today. Sometimes when we go out, we keep the light on at night, signify that somebody is at home. All right. So whenever the lamp was lit, and it symbolized that the person was home, means there was a symbolic meaning that God is dwelling in us continually. All right, God is in us continually. And this lamp may be kept burning continually means what? That means it's not supposed to be snuffed out. That means you've got to maintain this, you know, make sure that it is always lit. Okay, let's move on. Outside the curtain that, outside the curtain that shields the Ark of the Covenant law in the tent of meeting, Aaron is to tend the lamps before the Lord from evening to morning. Sorry, it's verse 3, all right? And continually. Number 2, part B, this is to be a lasting ordinance for the generations to come. That means, I mentioned day in, day out, week in, week out, year in, year out, here generation in, generation out. And this is what it meant. Here, Aaron was supposed to maintain this. This is called the golden candlestick or the golden menorah. It has seven, and Aaron is to tend this. And the word tend here is to arrange. So what happened is this: when you pour oil onto it, and when you light it, even today, you know, you light it, you will find that the wick will tend to carbonize. So what Aaron was supposed to do is, with the wick, you're supposed to clean off the wick of the carbon. Why? Because if you don't, then it becomes smoky. Then the whole place becomes smoky. That is not the intent. The intent is this light, this lamp is intended to illuminate this holy place. So that Aaron, when he goes there, Aaron and his sons, when they did this, they were supposed to tend this. That means they were supposed to remove the carbon. They were supposed to top up. They were supposed to keep this place spick and span. And the goal is to keep it lit, showing that God is always continually before us. All right. Number two, you will notice in point three, you will notice that there were two groups of people. There were two groups of people. Down here, there are two groups of people. One group of people here were the priests. The priests were of a certain tribe, and then there was another group of people. They were the normal people, non-priests. And they had to work together. The priests did not provide the flour and the oil. The people did, the normal Israelites did that. But the normal Israelites cannot go and give this tend the wheat. The normal Israelites could not tend the wheat. Only the priests could tend the wheat. So there were two separate groups of people showing two different points. And the point is this. Why only the priests could do this? Because the normal people were not holy enough. And some of you might wonder why he's not holy enough. Because he's not ritually holy enough. You had to be of a certain tribe with a certain commission to serve inside here. So this was a picture. It was a picture that the priests were special. The priests were privileged. Today, these two groups of people are combined. We are both normal worshippers as well as priests. So we have this privilege. But in those days, no. Your cousin, not holy enough. Your uncle may not be holy enough. Only Aaron and his line was holy enough to serve God. All right. Point number five, this was continually to be a service before God. That means at no time must the candle be, okay, there are seven candles, should not be six. It's not a voting system. More than six is okay. It's got to be all seven. All right? I know this seems a bit dry at the moment, but we'll see this later. Now, on the lamps, on the pure gold lamp, they must be continually lit. That we know. Verse 5, take the finest flour, bake them into 12 loaves of bread, using a portion, 2/10 of an ephah for each loaf. Okay, number one, notice that is again the finest flour. Number two, it has a golden lamp. Again, it is pure gold. This is a picture that everything, this is intended to cultivate in the priest's mind that whenever you go before God in this holy place, your mind must be of a certain mindset, you must be holy. Verse 6, it gives a very specific instruction. Hey, two stacks. This flour has to be arranged in two stacks, 6 times 2, not 4 times 3, not 3 times 4, not 6 times 2, but two groups of six, all right? And it's supposed to be stacked before God. And why two groups of six, 12? It was a picture of the 12 tribes of Israel. That means when the priest went in, he went in with a cloth, with 12 stones, and these 12 stones symbolize the 12 tribes of Israel. So when the priest went into this part here to do the service, this is 12 pieces, 6 times 2. The priest was continually reminded, this thing is not about me, you know. This service, I am serving here, but this is not about me. This is about God's people. This is about God's people. So when the priest came in, he was standing this, he was looking at the fine bread and all that. He was reminded, everything here, gold, everything is all about me. Everything is about the people of God. This is a picture that as we serve each other, we serve the community. It is not about me. When I do charge, it's not about me. When I read the scripture, it's not about me. It's about the community, the people of God. All right. So on some, put on each stack some incense. And this incense was frankincense. And frankincense was an expensive spice. And it was supposed to be sprinkled in a pure form. And it was a incense when it went up. It was a picture of prayer. It was a picture of something that was sweet smelling. It was something that was before God. It's something that wanted to impress on the people that when you put incense, the priest was supposed to put an incense that was pleasing, a sweet smell towards God. And this is a picture of prayer. Next thing, verse 8. The bread is to set out before the Lord regularly, and in this thing here, he specified Sabbath after Sabbath. That means this 12, this 6 times 2, was replaced every week, roughly every week. On behalf of the Israelites, that means your uncle who cannot come because it's not ritually holy, this will be on his behalf. Why? Because it's not about you, it's about the community, about your uncle, your distant cousin, about your BFF. And this was supposed to be a lasting covenant. That means they were supposed to do this week in, week out. And this is in the Jewish tradition. It's not written here, but in the Jewish tradition, there were two groups, 6 times 2. So the outgoing one will eat one. The incoming set of priests will eat the other one. And this was a symbol of there is continuity between me and the next person. A picture of how we serve each other. That means the pianist here has an impact on the greeter. The chart and server has an impact on the AV guy. It's not separate ministry, but it's part of a wider ministry. Okay. It belongs, this ritual belongs to a privileged group, Aaron and his sons, who are to eat it in the sanctuary area. That means where are they supposed to consume? That means in here, this is the showbread. They were supposed to consume it in this area. That means you can't take it out. That's number one. Number two, you can't go to Marche. You can't go to Marche. You can't go to, McDonald's, whatever it is. It's to be eaten there. And the reason is given. It's because this is considered a holy ritual. And this is meant to be done before God. All right? So some of the observations. Notice that only the priests are allowed to eat this. Their family, their friends, their soccer teammates are not allowed to. Why? Because they're not ritually holy. And then this is only a privilege for the priest. Number two, the food was considered holy. The food itself was not for nutritional value. It's not for nutritional value. It is meant to be a reminder, a symbolic value. Number three, the food was supposed to be consumed before the Lord in a holy place, not in Four Seasons or Marche or Raffles Hotel or whatever it is. And then number four, the offering was presented to the Lord. That means this is symbolic that it was presented to the Lord. And I know up to this point here, it has made no sense to you. Now will make sense. Okay, so you will find that the first point this thing makes is, let's go back here and we'll try and make sense of it. Here, the first point that we make is God always dwells here. That means what? This ritual was to be here. God is symbolically here. And this was always to symbolize that God is in here, next to us. He's always in our community. He's always in our presence. So when you go back today, you ask, where is God? People ask you, where is God? Have you met God? The answer is yes. I met God here. I met God in church. This is our community. This is where God resides. This is what the picture is supposed to say. Second, God is our King. God deserves the best. How do you know? Because everything gold, you know. Everything pure gold. The olive oil squeezed once only, pressed once only, not recycled. No. This is really extra virgin olive oil. One time only, and that's that. The olive oil was so good, it was able to present to a king, you know, of another country. The light, the golden candle, light, is a picture of, it's a picture, wait, hold on. Light, like this, light is a picture that God is always in. There's illumination. When you come into this room, it's never dark one. That means here, when you enter this room, it is never dark. It's never dark. Means what, you know, in the community of God, in the church of God, should have no darkness, only light, always light here. This place got incense, only prayer. Prayer is a picture here that God expects prayer. The bread, what is the bread? The bread is the word of God. That's why Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. Not that he nourishes, some people say, hey, bread of life. What does that mean? It means he provides spiritual nutrition, not physical nutrition. So eating the bread there is not for nutritional value, it's to remind us that we depend on the bread of life, Jesus. We rely on the word of God. The light here is to say that this place here, all bright one, you know. You're not sure? You ask God. God is there to guide us. And this, for me, is the most important. Point four. It is not the act which is holy. You know why not? Because you could have a candle in your own house. What? You know, you have to tend the candle, you can pour olive oil also. But that doesn't make it holy. What makes it holy is you do this before the Lord, then it becomes holy. What is the difference? What is our attitude when we come and serve God? You can read Bible at home also, no problem. But why come here? Because it is holy, makes it holy here, our attitude. So it's not the act of reading the word of God. It's not the act of singing the hymn there that makes it holy. It is how. How we do that before the Lord that makes it holy. Number five, routine. Routine spiritual. Oh, we come here week in, week out. Worship, prayer meeting, refreshments. Week in, week out, we are expected to do this. Month in, month out, we do this. Year in, year out, we do this. Why? Because it is holy. Routine, but holy. Next thing, number six. Chores. Mundane tasks. Like what? Cleaning the wick. Topping up the oil. Baking the flour for the 12 loaves. Week in, week out, they do it. As a reminder, this one here, week in, week out, you do daily chores, mundane chores, considered holy. Some people think, hey, we are Christians, but we don't do anything supernatural, miracles, or no one. Week in, week out, spiritual matters clear. These are routine matters in your house. Some with children, young children, you're changing their diapers. Grandparents here changing diapers. Some people here work in the office. Week in, week out, you see the same guy. You expect it to be holy. Some of us teach our children week in, week out, day in, day out. Not only PSLE, not only O level, not only A level. But we teach our children daily. These are mundane chores. But how are we to do it? How are we to do it, brothers and sisters? Our problem is this. This is the holy place. Outside here, there is an outer place. Our problem is everything is done outside. We don't do things inside here, brothers and sisters. That's the point. That's why this passage of 9 verses inserted here, so that we are aware, so that we take. Frankincense gives us a pleasant aroma. It's a picture of pleasing prayer to God, both your personal prayer as well as corporate prayer. Bread, as I mentioned, is for spiritual sustenance. How are you supposed to do it? Day in, day out. Year in, year out. For how long? Forever. As long as this temple was there, as long as this setup was there, the Jews were expected to do it. Brothers and sisters, measure ourselves against this. Hey, when we go to the holy place, is everything gold or not? Maybe not. This one here, a bit of dust. Forgot to clean. This one here, a little bit of impurities. What to do, buy from IKEA, is that? What's our attitude, brothers and sisters? When we come for a worship, what's our attitude? Is it a tardy attitude? Not a chintai lah. There'll be a certain few guys who'll be looking out for other few guys, and how we come in, God sees the heart only, right? Not true! Yes, God sees the heart, but not true. God does not only see the heart. God sees the attitude behind it. When we come, do we have a spirit of prayer? We just mouth a few things. Because before we start, just have a time of prayer, just mouth it out. Nobody can hear anyway. We have the attitude that this, just because God is invisible, God is blind. I'll repeat that. We have this attitude, God is invisible, therefore God is blind. God is invisible, but he's not blind. He's not blind, brothers and sisters. He has instituted this to give us a picture that he sees. He expects. What's our attitude when we come for Bible study? This one here, Zechariah again. Leviticus again. What could it possibly help us, man, today? Brothers and sisters, it is inserted for our exhortation, for our encouragement, for our compliance, our obedience. What's our attitude? We have the privilege to come and serve before God. But we think that this one here, optional lah, optional. Let us look at verses 1 to 3 again, or verses 1 to 4 again, and I'll read it. And as I read it, let's reflect upon what is expected. Number one, this ritual done before God. Number two, this ritual, everything down there, all pure gold. Number three, all the ingredients, the best, the finest. And then we now read this, and we see what God expects. Verse 1, Yahweh, the covenantal God, the personal God of the Israelites, now commands Moses. I want you to tell the Israelites, Moses, you go and tell the Israelites, and I want you to tell them this. You come to me, you bring clear oil or pressed oil, the finest possible for the light, so that the lamps, the golden menorah, may be kept burning continually. Why? It's a symbol for me, for God to tell the Israelites, I am always present here. There's no darkness one. You don't have to worry. You will not be lost. I will always be in your midst. I will always be present. How long are they supposed to do it? Continually. Make sure day in, day out. Night in, night out. Number two. Number three, outside the curtain, Aaron is to tend the lamps before the Lord. That means every day, Aaron and the priest are supposed to clear off the wheat carbon, a picture of sin that catches on in our daily lives. We're supposed to clear it off. Every day, not once a week, not once a month. This is, Aaron is to tend the lamps before the Lord from evening to morning, at night. A time when it's quiet. You're supposed to go and reflect upon your sin. Remove the sin of the day. Confess those sins. How long is this supposed to be done? This is a lasting ordinance. It's a lasting ordinance for the generations to come. That means what, you know, next 50 years, worship also on Sunday. Next 150 years, also preaching from the Word of God. Next 50 years, singing from the piano, maybe with a guitar, or if you are lucky with a violinist, also can. Verse 4, the lamps on the pure gold are to be tended continually. Why? So that is a picture that God will always direct them. There's no darkness one. You don't have to worry. Verse 5, take the fine flour and bake into 12 loaves of bread. Always the community. It's not about you, the priest. It's about the community outside. You represent them. You represent them. Verse 6, set them in two rows of six. Where? In this pure gold, you know. Everything here is pure gold before the Lord. Along each row, there are two rows there, put pure incense. Tell them. Tell the people that this bread represents you. The incense represents prayer. You guys are supposed to pray. This is pleasing to the Lord. Verse seven. Present the bread to the offering, made to the Lord by fire. That means this bread supposed to eat, commune, draw strength from the Word of God. How often is this to be done? Sabbath after Sabbath, week in, week out. Where? On behalf of the Israelites. It's not about yourself, it's about the Israelites, it's about the community. That means when you serve, don't think, hey, this one here, Chaten got problem today, okay lah, I mean, bo pian lah. I did Chaten last week already, right? So they have to solve their own problem. Life out there is like that one, we divide one. Sometimes, I hate to say this, sometimes, but we got to draw a line. Is that the idea here? The outgoing priest eats six, the incoming priest eats six as a symbol that we all work together for the community. Verse 9, it belongs to Aaron and his sons. We have this privilege now. Not our friends of BFF or family members or outside the community of God. Some of them are unsaved. We have this privilege. Why they don't have this privilege? Because they're not ritually pure enough. Our job is to make sure that they are also ritually pure enough. Bring them in on Sundays. Let them hear the Word of God. Newcomers, preach the gospel. Gospel is nothing but the good news. And this is supposed to be done where, you know, not flippantly. Flippantly means chinchai lah, anyhow lah. I mean, or just eat bread, just take it out lah. What's about tapao ma? You gotta eat there. As a remembrance, you all don't go and tap out this thing outside. You know, you eat here so that you are reminded that you do this for God. Measure our attitude against this 9 verses, brothers and sisters. As we go forth this week, let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this 9 verses in Leviticus chapter 24. Lord, we are challenged by these commands. We are encouraged by this symbolism. Father, truly, we thank you that we have this privilege to serve before you. Father, that truly that you are always in our midst. There's always light, even in life's difficulties. That we can draw spiritual sustenance from your word, the bread of life. That prayer, though it may seem symbolic, it is actually pleasing to you, Lord. Father, we want to pray for others who are outside your kingdom now, outside the community, our relatives, our loved ones, our friends. Oh God, have mercy to touch their hearts, that they too may come before you. Father, forgive us, Lord, that we take these spiritual matters lightly. We see this as a chore. We don't see this as a privilege, oh Lord. Father, sometimes we moan and groan in our hearts. Why this? Father, help us to realize that everything before you, done before you, is pure gold, finest quality. Help us to have this sense, Lord, that when we serve you, we serve a mighty king, a godly king, a holy king. Father, as we go through life this week, Lord, help us to speak wisely. Even as we teach our children, prepare them for exams, even as we chair meetings and make decisions for the organization, even in the homes where we may have elderly parents, help us to make decisions before you, Lord. Before you, meaning help us to make decisions being conscious of who you are. Oh Lord, Father, we just want to thank you that we have this great privilege to worship you today, the first day of the week, that will set the tone for the rest of the days. Father, we give you all the thanks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Pastor.